Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On page 12 and 13 of the August 2015 edition of Ensign Magazine, there's a section called News of the Church. And in this particular article, they highlight the new area leaders that have been assigned. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about this because this has to do with the Office of the 70. In Mormonism, they have a hierarchy of leadership. At the very top of the church, they have what's known as the First Presidency, which is composed of the prophet, seer, and revelator, who is currently Thomas S. Monson, and his two counselors, Henry B. Eyring and Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Then below the First Presidency, there is what's called the Council of the Twelve, or the Quorum of the Twelve, the 12 Apostles. And then below the 12 Apostles, they have what's known as the 70. Now, there are various quorums of the 70. There's a first quorum of the 70, second quorum, third quorum, and so on. The lower quorums of the 70s are more of what you would call a part-time job, okay? But the first quorum of the 70 is a full-time position in the LDS Church. And in this article, it talks about what their responsibilities are.
Well, first of all, it says that all members of area presidencies are members of the first or second quorum of the 70. So if you're a member of the area presidencies, which all these pictures on these two pages of these men are, then they are considered first or second quorum. The 70 are called by revelation under the direction of the first presidency to assist the quorum of the 12 apostles in their ministry throughout the world. And this is Boyd K. Packer, who at the time was president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, who said, "The history of the 70s really goes back to the Old Testament. The first reference to the 70 is found in Exodus 24:1, and they are later referred to in Numbers 11:16 through 17, and also verse 25, when they are gathered to assist Moses. During Christ's mortal ministry, he called the 70, instructed them in a manner similar to the 12 apostles, and sent them out before his face, explaining that those who heard their voices would hear his voice." Packer's quoted, "We believe in the same organization that existed in the primitive church, and it included 70s, end quote. In today's rapidly growing church, the 70 play an important role in assisting the 12. Quote, 70s by delegation can do anything the 12 tell them to do, President Packer said.
That's kind of an interesting ending there for 70s by delegation can do anything the 12 tell them to do. So they are actually what you might say is at the beck and call of the Quorum of the 12.
Now, these leaders that are on these pages, their new leadership roles took place on August 1st, 2015. So these are new roles for them, and they've switched around the presidency of the 70 and the different areas where they serve.
Now, there's one thing that the church has been accused of in times past, and that it is a white man's church. Now, certainly that has changed somewhat over the years as the church has expanded, but certainly when you look at the pictures of these men that have been newly assigned to these positions, off the bat, they still look pretty white, although there are some Asians, Koreans, and those that are of Chinese descent.
As well as Hispanics.
As well as Hispanic. But there are no blacks, I notice, even though the revelation to allow those of African heritage to be able to hold the priesthood happened way back in 1978, the number of those who are of African descent have really been few and far between. In fact, in the first quorum of the 70 right now, there's really only one man, Joseph Sitati, that is of African heritage. He's actually a Kenyan. Now, they're going to be picking two new leaders here very soon, following the deaths of Boyd K. Packer and L. Tom Perry. So there are two vacancies in the church leadership right now in the Quorum of the 12. So we were kind of speculating as to who do you think could be filling those vacancies?
And so we did a little research trying to determine how have they picked people in the past. since 1988, they have chosen seven new apostles. Now, we need to point out, there has never been an apostle of any kind of color. There have been from foreign countries, but not of color. And so those have all been pretty much Anglo-Saxons. And so these seven men that have been picked, six of the seven of the last apostles picked were members of the 70, and most of them served at one point or another in the first presidency. So they served very high offices in the 70s. And their ages range from as young as 52 to as old as 67. So that gives us a little background of the two openings that they have. I'm going to say it's almost inevitable that one, if not both, of the new selections will have come from the 70s.
If that being the case, then what are some of your speculations as to who that could possibly be? Now, remember, folks, none of us really know. We have no idea who's going to be chosen to fill these two vacancies. But is there a possibility that a person could be chosen to be an apostle who is, in fact, black? Could it be Joseph Sitati?
I think it would be a bold choice. He's 62 years of age, so he fits within the age range. He is probably the only black that would be eligible as far as his qualifications go.
He has spoken in general conference before, that's for sure.
Yeah. He is sort of hard to understand when he does speak.
And he's from Kenya, and he has a very strong Kenyan accent.
I don't know if that plays a role or not in how they are going to determine if somebody like that would become a member of the apostles.
Well, of course, they would argue, of course it doesn't, because they're chosen by the Lord.
Yeah.
There's no politicking involved. At least that's what we are led to believe, which I certainly have a difficulty buying that, because when you look at the leadership in the LDS church, the very high up leadership, you're going to find that a lot of them are either related by marriage or by blood. Now, certainly that's starting to change somewhat over the years. But it is interesting to kind of speculate as to who it could possibly be. What are your surmisings on this, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, well, I'm not thinking it's going to be Sitati. I think I'm going to give you two choices, because I'm going to go out on a limb and say, and I'm going to suggest somebody from either Central or South America. In South America, you have Brazil, and there are two Brazilians who serve as 70s who have spoken very often at the general conferences and who are articulate. I'm not sure if they're what I would consider the good old boy network that would fit in with the other apostles. The two Brazilians who serves in the Brazil area, Claudio R.M. Costa, and Costa is 66 years of age, so he's on the older age there if you're going between 52 and 67, and I don't think they will pick anybody who's past that, but I think that's a real good choice for them.
If you're right, that's an interesting choice, because when he spoke in general conference, he was one of the two that spoke on the 14 fundamentals and following the prophet, which would tell me that certainly he would fall into the more traditional type of camp of Mormonism.
And that's going to be appealing, especially to the older members who do want loyalty as part of who they bring in. So Costa, I think, is a very good possibility. Another would be Walter F. Gonzalez, who is the president of the South America South area, and he has also spoken at General Conference. He is only 63, and I think with all of these men getting up there in years, and right now we've just had two die, and we have several others who are in bad health in the first presidency. You have Thomas S. Monson, and Russell M. Nelson is in bad health as well in there. And so I think if they were smart, they would try to pick somebody on the lower end. And so he would make a choice at the age of 63, a possibility. And now you're going to make all the people in the Hispanic world excited about this new apostle who comes in, perhaps energizing the church, just as I think the current pope has done down in South America and Central America and Mexico. They consider this to be their own, and so there have been many people who have committed themselves further to the Catholic Church. So I could see the same thing happening here.
But the chances are of it being a black man are probably pretty slim, in your opinion?
Yeah, I just don't think so. If you're gonna choose a white man, I would think Bruce Porter would make a very reasonable choice. Who do you think, Bill?
I have no way of knowing, but except for his age, because he is a little bit older than the others, I would look at Tad Callister. Tad Callister is a traditional Mormon. He certainly believes in the traditional aspect. I wouldn't consider him to be a progressive by any stretch of the imagination. He's given talks on becoming God and all this kind of stuff. So I would probably consider him perhaps to be one.
And that actually is not a bad choice. He is more in the traditional end, but he's 70 years of age. And if he's not picked as to be an apostle, then in December, when his birthday rolls around, he will have to leave the 70 and become an emeritus. That's the rule. And so that would be basically his last shot. And I'm just saying, the age of 70, I don't think they want somebody that only has 15 or 20 years of service. They'd like to get more of 30 years if they could.
Well, if I was to pick another white guy, I would probably go with maybe Kevin Pearson. Now, Kevin Pearson spoke in General Conference, and I was kind of impressed with his demeanor, the way he spoke. He kind of came across as really having, you know, some kind of authority when he spoke, although I didn't agree with a lot of the things that he said, but nonetheless, he might be a possibility as well.
And another Anglo that I would say is a possibility is Kevin R. Duncan, who serves as president of the Central America area. And so he knows Spanish and perhaps is connected enough there that that would be an exciting choice for the Hispanic world.
And like we said before, we have no idea who they're going to pick. And as much as I understand when they're going to tell their people that they are picked by the Lord, wouldn't you say it's a little difficult to really believe that totally, that there's absolutely no other things that would be a part of that decision? Like, how does this person get along with others? How clear do they speak? What kind of presence do they have? What kind of photographs do they take?
Yeah.
Things like that. I wonder if all that has a bit of play in it as well.
I would think, though, of the two choices, most likely they're going to come from the 70. I don't think you're going to see somebody, for instance, from BYU or one of the scholars involved in the religion department there to become an apostle. And if they did, wow, that would be fascinating.
That really would, but I think you're right. I don't think they want someone who's controversial coming in there and stirring up the pot, given the fact that a lot of the people that they have in there now in the leadership seem to be pretty much traditionalists and have gone along with the traditional line. They're not going to want someone to come in and all of a sudden go in an opposite direction. That could be very embarrassing for them. But who knows? We'll find out in the coming months who the two replacements are going to be.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.